Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, single, not stalled, pursuing sanctity in your singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
Hello, Monica.
Hello, Katie.
We are recording this the day it's going to be put out because we are a little behind after our trip and all that. But, you know, here we are, July 1st.
This is so interesting because, yeah, it's funny. I think we were originally playing around with the idea that this episode would be about leisure, which I find so funny because I think people expect summer to be leisure. And yet it's like, that's when people are so busy and there's so much travel and there's so much chaos that we were like, oh yeah, we're a little behind. That's okay. Hey, hi, nice to see you.
We'll do leisure another time.
When we're a little more in that mindset.
It's true. I don't even remember what our homework was from two episodes ago before we did the Camino one. Also, I feel like I need to put a PSA here. If you are listening to this and you did not hear our Camino episode, but you thought you listened to it, I accidentally uploaded the wrong podcast. So go back. I re-uploaded it. 20 of you listened to it before I caught the error, which does crack me up. But anyway, if you are one of those 20, please go back and listen to the Camino episode because I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say it's just so funny. I love that mistake happened. And I love that you and I are, no, seriously, because I also love that you and I are both like, oh, we don't know what the homework was. Cause I think that's so real for like everyone's experience in life being like,
it's true.
I have no idea. Yeah. I said I would do that, but now I don't even remember what I said I was going to do. And I like dropped the ball here and I fumbled there and like, yeah, I mean, Katie and I have never said that this is a perfect podcast or that we, you know, are infallible and perfect experts in everything. It's just, you know, kind of sharing just the flawed human nature that we have is.
It's true. The episode before our Camino episode was on common mistakes when interviewing for a job and applying for a job, if you remember that one. We recorded it like more than a month ago at this point, but I had one of my employees say she listened to it and was like cracking up because she was like, people do these things? And I was like, yes, like they do. It's crazy. Anyway, not to call you out if you've done some of those things, just we know more so we can do better.
I've probably done some of those things, which is why I think it's, you know, interviewing, just like dating or whatever, like it's something we practice and we learn. You know, and so I think this maybe segues nicely into our topic today, which is about expectations. So I think if you have this expectation that you're going to be perfect or that you know what you're doing, we really kind of block ourselves off from learning from our setbacks or failures or just situations, and even block ourselves off from like seeking help and guidance and kind of touch with people because we're like, well, I should know how to do this.
Yeah. Anyway. No, it's true. I was thinking of like both the employee I had to let go recently and then also like my first job. And like the expectation I had of what a professional job would look like was so different from the reality, right? Like I remember, so our dad, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but he worked in human resources. So when I graduated, he took me out and he bought me my first suit, like my first power suit with a silk blouse and high heels and the whole deal. And yes, I absolutely used that to interview in many, many times over the years. However, I was like expecting to be that like boss babe wearing that suit. And then I got a job at the New York Times and like everybody was in jeans and like super casual. And this was like in the early 2000s. So like this was way before the like
leisure
super casual culture had started. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not what people wear. All right, cool. And then like had to adjust that. And then like I was just never busy. Like I never had enough work to do. And I was always asking for more work. And again, the same. I was like, what? this is not at all the expectation I had of having a job. Like, I was like, I thought for sure I was going to be like running around and like, you know, like, I don't know, but nope, wasn't busy. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Very funny.
Yeah, that is really funny. I mean, I would even say like, I was not prepared for what it would be like to be a therapist. Like, and you know, I think there are some things in life that people can never actually like prepare you for. Mm-hmm. Our mom says this a lot where she's like, if someone had told her when she met my dad, like, you're going to have 9 kids and this is what your life is going to look like, she would have been like, nope, but thank you. Because exactly. Because, you know, you don't, it's like, you know enough to have assumptions about what something should or shouldn't look like, or that doesn't meet my expectations, or I never pictured my life going in that particular way. And so there's something kind of, you know, the only thing that prepares you is like the present moment, and you kind of there and in it and present there, not kind of your expectations are almost this kind of reservation for disappointment where you're like, well, it's unreal.
Yeah, it's funny. I might have mentioned this on a previous episode, but I realized this like really clearly that I shouldn't have expectations for events. When I had just graduated, I'd moved to New York, and you and the other sisters and our mom were coming out to visit me. And I had all these expectations for how this trip was going to go, all the places I was going to take you guys, all the things that we were going to do, how I was going to introduce you to like my New York and all of that kind of stuff, because no one in my family had ever been there. They'd never lived there. I was living there. And I remember you guys left and I was like, that sucked. Like, that visit was horrible. And then after like reflecting on it for a while, I was like, oh no, it actually wasn't. Like, we had a really good time. We did a lot of stuff. We still have some funny memories of things that happened while we were there, but it didn't meet my expectations. And so when you guys left, I was like, that was a bad trip. And I remember being very like aware of this and then trying to set very little expectations for future visits, whether I visited home or whether people came to visit me, and just really wanted to focus on like being with the person, like being present and not having expectations for how I wanted the trip to go or what I wanted to look like or conversations I wanted to have or whatever. But that was like really hard to let go of.
That's so interesting because I think I was like 11 on this.
Yeah, you were tiny. I don't know. Yeah.
So it's one of these trips in my mind that was like the coolest because I had never flown before. I had never really been out of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Certainly never like New York City on a girls' trip, like all these things. And so because I had no information and no prior knowledge, there were zero expectations. I had no idea what it would be like to fly. I had no idea what a big city like that would be. And so it is kind of funny, right? That I think sometimes through our experiences, we set expectations for ourselves when there are zero expectations, the trip or the situation or the person is allowed to be whoever they are. Like, you can actually receive that situation or person better when you suspend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and I think to be clear, this is not saying like, don't make plans. This is not saying like, don't have big dreams, big aspirations, that kind of thing. We're not saying that, but we're saying like, when we have these, I don't know, set expectations for how it's supposed to look when I'm a professional, or how it's supposed to look when I'm single, or how my life is supposed to look when I'm 30 or 25, it can set us up for a lot of heartbreak, for lack of a better word.
Well, because I think we're sort of stuck. So how do I know the difference between planning and expectation? Well, I think expectations are kind of these unrealistic standards we set on an event or on something. So it's not, you know, planning is I'm going to New York. Expectations are I'm going to New York to have the best time of my life. Like, okay, well, where is that written that that's what's going to happen? I was actually just talking to a client about this because they have right now 2 kids. They come from a very big family. So there's an expectation that successful womanhood, motherhood, marriage means a large family. And we know that we're kind of leaning into this expectation category when we start to use the word should, because that to me, when I hear that, I'm hearing some type of external standard put onto someone or something. And mm-hmm. so the work there is to just be curious about why should it be one mm-hmm. particular way?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think for me, like a lot of my professional life was trying to navigate this and like do away with these expectations that I had set. Because I thought, you know, like by a certain stage, I'd be at a certain place as a journalist or as a professional, or I'd be making a certain amount of money, you know? And then for me, I moved a lot. I got asked to move a lot to help with different, you know, episodic endeavors in different cities. And so, you know, I spent 2 years in New York, 3 years in St. Louis, 2 years in Boston, 2 years in Milwaukee. Like I moved a lot, and it's really hard to like establish a career often if you're moving so much. And every time I'd move, I'd be like really happy to move. And then also like, oh, this is rough because my expectation of where I should be professionally at this point in my life is not there.
Mm.
And it was really when I started like getting rid of that expectation that I actually was able to like start my company. And now actually yesterday was my 5-year anniversary of running Rosebud Social, which is really exciting. And now my life looks a lot more like I was kind of hope, like professional life looks a lot more like I was hoping it would. And I thought it would come much earlier in life, but I didn't know really what it looked like or really what that would be. And anyway.
For your life, for professionally, for you to be kind of where you thought you were going to be, you had to let go of those expectations mm-hmm. and allow kind of, because I think when we let go of those expectations, we are able to kind of receive what life is kind of giving us
mm-hmm. and
in that freedom, right?
Yeah.
Without these pressures and kind of chains that we're putting on ourselves, we're able to see opportunities better. We're able to make maybe very difficult decisions that with expectation comes pressure. So I don't feel free to do that, or I'm scared to do that.
Yeah.
When we kind of let go, that freedom actually allows us to flourish.
Yeah. And I think too, there's something to be said for, I guess all the experiences you have in leading up to things. So I always tell people, like, I don't think my business would be successful if I hadn't had all the stuff that came before it. I don't think I'd be as good of a boss. I'm not saying I'm like the best boss in the world, but I think I'm a fairly good boss. I don't think I'd be as good of a boss if I hadn't had a lot of shitty bosses before this, right? And I think that also is important to keep in mind when we're looking at expectations and we're trying to like get them out of our head. Like all of these things are paving the way towards our sanctity, hopefully, but then also to something bigger. Like God has this plan in place and he's piecing each of these things together that we need in order to fully flourish, in order to fully, you know, like live as our true authentic self and to really lean into that.
Right. And I think, I'm just kind of piecing together what you said, because I think that there's so much behind that. Like there's a lot of different avenues we can take with that, because I think that there's maybe an expectation. I certainly had an expectation that I should be in a career within my 20s and kind of adjusting and being able to realize like some of these people that I look up to are like 40, like two decades building a career, that most of who we are and what we're doing in our life, our vocation, pretty much everything is like built. It's about the process. And sometimes expectations can be so focused on results that we don't learn from failure and from these different things, because we're saying it shouldn't have happened. I see this all the time. I do it myself. I shouldn't be. I was in this space in January, February, right? Because I had this expectation that by the time I was 30, I would be married. I had this expectation that I would never live alone.
Yeah,
I suddenly was confronted with the reality that you have to. And the reason I think that decision was more difficult was because I had expectations that this shouldn't be happening. So I was resisting making that move.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so sometimes I think Katie, to your point, a lot of this stuff that happens to us in life is kind of building us towards things that we don't even know are coming, or are opportunities for us to grow and to learn if we take them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If we let them teach us. And, you know, you have that expectation, like, I'm never going to live alone. I'm going to live with a roommate, a family member, and then my spouse someday. And God was like, well, I got other plans for you. And, like, there's, you know, like we say in our intro, like, this is a season for you. Right. And this is the season God's asking you to live right now. And yes, it doesn't match that visual image you had in your head. But this is the image he's had. Right. And like, this is kind of where he wants you to go. I remember actually when I first like became a numerary. And so there's four of us girls in the family. Monica is the youngest and she's in between five boys. So the first three of us are girls. And we had, when I was younger, we would talk a lot about how we were all going to live together and we were all going to have labs. One was going to have a black lab, one was going to have a brown lab, one was going to have a yellow lab. And like, that was the plan. And I remember when I became a numerary, one of the first things one of the other sisters said to me is like, but now we can't have our dogs and live in an apartment together.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, and I was like, yes. But the funny thing is I never thought that was going to actually happen. Like I thought we were just talking about it and like that kind of a thing, but like she really thought that was going to be our lives. And for me, I was like, that's like so unrealistic. Who keeps three labs in an apartment? And like all the other ways life took us, you know? And anyway, but I just, you know, those expectations, I think we can also have on others or what we want to see others like doing for us or being for us, which can also be kind of detrimental, I think, to our own vision, to our vision of them, and those kinds of things.
And I think expectations to some degree aren't the worst thing in the world. I think synonymous or carried hand in hand with that is this hope that is really important, right? That
sure.
When you found your vocation and you said yes, you made this big leap, it would have been probably harder to say that yes if you had seen all the trials that would come with that yes.
Oh, for sure.
The expectation, this is what happens when we're in love and we're like, oh my gosh, right? Like you fell in love with your vocation and people fall in love with their spouse and they're like, this is going to be amazing. And you almost need that level of delusion to be making these these lifelong commitments to say, like, there's this expectation, like, yes, I'm going to do this. And then the really important part, really early on in this vocation, really early on in marriage, really early on in being a numerary, you have to come to terms with, oh, this isn't Disney happily ever after. This is right. Coming. This is ordinary. This is boring. This is difficult at times. So I think that adjusting expectations is the work of a lifetime.
Totally. Yeah. Cause we're always going to have these ideals or these hopes or dreams of like what we think life should look like at this point, or what we want this relationship to be, or what we want this career to be, this job to be, this whatever. I mean, I can remember taking a job and like literally posting and being like, this is my dream job. Like, I can't believe I got my dream job. And 6 months later, I was like, get me the hell out of here. Like, this is horrible. I want out.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from it, but I was like, oh, but on paper, it looked like everything that I ever wanted in a job. And then it was not.
I feel like that also happens in dating. Like there's
totally
guys where you're like, oh my gosh, on paper, we are phenomenal. And then in person and in the going on of a relationship, you're like, this is my living nightmare. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. And so, you know, I think that part of, I think the work of expectations is to be really curious with yourself and to wonder, where is this coming from? Because some are put on our heart and they're coming from good places. And sure. Others are these weird societal standards, family standards, external pressures that actually kind of cloud our ability to like judge and discern and be at peace with so forth, whatever in life, right? Leaving mm-hmm. a job. Well, I shouldn't leave a job at 6 months. Why? Where's that coming from? Who says that? Like, and the pressure from other people or the expectation that that's not good on my resume would actually keep me from making a good choice for myself, which would be to.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that as your example. So one of my first job. So it was actually my second job, and I left it without another job. I was still living in New York at the time. And I called dad to be like, I think I'm leaving this job. And I had a very toxic boss. Like, I'm saying so toxic. He would take the articles that I wrote. He was my editor. He would take the articles that I wrote. He would make them, he would dumb them down, like make them sound bad. And then take them to the head editor and be like, this is the kind of stuff Katie's writing. Okay. Like that toxic. And so I was like, I need out. And he was just sketchy. Anyway, there was a whole thing. Anyway, so I quit. I quit without another job. And everybody was like, this is the worst idea ever. Except for like two people who were like, do it. Like, what's the worst? And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm quitting. And I'm still so grateful for that. But if I had listened to that kind of expectation, like you shouldn't quit a job after 6 months. At that point, I'd had 2 6-month stints because I left the New York Times because I wasn't busy enough. I took another job and then I left this job with no other job. I would not have gotten the job that then I had for the rest of the time I was in New York. So for a whole year. And that job opened so many doors for me, opened so many possibilities. I freelanced for them for years and years and years before I kind of branched into this. And it, but that, like being able to walk away from that expectation and be like, okay, like this is what I know is really good for me. Even if like others' expectations of me are going to be like, or society wise, et cetera.
Yeah. And I don't know, I guess if you're listening to this and you're like, oh gosh, like I have so many expectations or I have so many disappointments. Like, I think that this is just that opportunity to like tune into yourself here and be like, if I have a lot of disappointments in my life or a lot of regrets or a lot of anxieties and pressures, like, you know, we sometimes have to listen to the desires of our heart that are like, our heart matters and our Lord puts desires on our heart that are good, that are calling us to move into action. And so, you know, sometimes we can be really stuck. I see this in a lot of circumstantially single girls. They maybe say no to certain guys because he doesn't meet an expectation of who they thought they should be with, right? He doesn't look a particular way. He doesn't have a particular job. I thought X, Y, Z. And just like with the career professionally, we can close ourselves off from opportunities. It doesn't mean that the next job you were in was your career forever, but you learned so much in that next space because you were willing to take that leap. It wasn't forever, but there is so much opportunity for becoming who we're called to be when we suspend expectations, when we're open to just receiving life for what it is. And I think taking advantage of those opportunities that naturally occur in our life when we're open to seeing them.
Yeah. This is making me think of one of my college roommates. Loved her to death. She came from a very rich family. She grew up with a ton of money. She always had her hair perfectly dyed, always had her nails done. Like, her makeup was perfect, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a guy who like hung out in our circles or whatever. And he was super sweet, but super nerdy and not very attractive.
Oh.
And he, you could tell he had this big crush on her. And so at first she kind of ignored him or whatever. And then he asked her out and she was like, okay. to be nice, right? To be nice and be like, okay, I'll go out on a date. Okay. They're now married and they have, I think they have 5 kids. I was trying to find them on Facebook. And I remember when they got engaged and we asked her, we're like, do you find him attractive? And she goes, you know, at first, physically, no, not at all. Like, he didn't check any of the categories. He probably wasn't going to make a ton of money. She grew up with a ton of money, right? He, you know, was kind of doofy looking, super nerdy, etc. And she was like, but now that I've gotten to know him, I find him the most attractive man on the planet. And I was like, I love that. But I think, like, to your point, if she had this expectation of she needed to marry someone like her dad, right, who owned all these businesses and provided his girls with a ton of things, a ton of material possessions and wealth and all that kind of stuff, she would have never given him a chance.
Right.
And had she never given him a chance, they would not be married. They had 3 kids of their own and they adopted 3. I think it's 3. They adopted 3 kids with special needs from China. Like, those three kids would not have parents. You know, like, it's a fascinating thing to, like, look at and be like, that, yeah, like, kind of letting go of some of those expectations, or that, like, okay, like, I need to be married. Like, she literally was the one who, like, needed to be married to the Ken doll.
Oh, God.
You know? And then she married this guy who's, like, tall and lanky and had a funky smile and lots of acne and, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's such a cute story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I would always recommend kind of, like, journaling about this. And I journal about these things too, right? To just try to better understand myself, right? Because some expectations are helpful, right? Like, I should be living a good life. Okay. It's not that we get rid of that expectation or that standard, but sometimes maybe we challenge, well, but what does good mean? And are those expectations of that definition of that word realistic, right? I should have a prayer life with God and it should look this particular way. I feel like I talk to people about this a lot where it's like, well, but why does it have to look one particular way? When you say, like, oh, I'm going to pray my rosary, what does that mean to say, maybe I listen to it one day because that's what I have the capacity for. Maybe I do a walking rosary another day because I need to be able to, like, to move. And sometimes, okay, I had to merge these things. And we run the risk of not embracing that or being too rigid if we have this expectation that something should be a very particular way.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea of journaling about it, like, kind of taking inventory a little bit of these expectations that you've set up for yourself or ways, and then kind of thinking them through, right? Like, why should I XYZ? Why should I be this? Why should I do this? Why should I? And then really thinking through it. Like, why do I have this? Is this a worthwhile goal? Is this really what's going to be best for me and my full flourishing? This is making me think, I don't know why, but this is making me think of an Instagram post that I saw, like, yesterday as I was scrolling, and it was like hand-drawn bodies of women, and the caption above it said, men, which body type do you like the best, right? And, like, all of them were
different
but beautiful.
Okay.
Right? And a little unattainable.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, if that makes sense. Except, like, the last one was, like, chubby is what it said, and it had this, like, very, like, large woman.
But I'm sure it had, like, perfect chubby curves, you know what I mean?
But, well, and a lot of them were these kind of perfect chubby curves. It was, like, fit, but she was, like, full hourglass figure, you know, like, not like fit women are, you know. Anyway, and so I comments on Instagram posts crack me up sometimes, and I'm always so curious, so I of course immediately, like, ran to captions to comments to see what people were saying, and there were all these men that were like, where's the normal body type? I don't see my wife anywhere on here. She's my favorite. And I was like, yes. But as I went back and I was looking at the sketches, and I was like, these are the expectations that women have.
Yes.
Minus the last two that were just fat. Right. And I was like, oh, this is so fascinating. Right. We then beat ourselves up often when we think of, like, weight, I think is a great thing, because so many women beat themselves up over this. We beat ourselves up because we have this expectation that I have to be a certain pant size or a certain scale size or whatever. But, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, but why do you need to? Right. And, like, and then funny enough, the very next post was some woman who was on a podcast being like, listen, at your funeral, no one's ever going to say she was stunning. She was a size two. We all loved her for that. She's like, eat the damn cake. And I was like, okay, well,
yes and no.
All the extremes here. But anyway, I thought it was funny.
That's so funny. The first time, I just remember when I was growing up, this, like, thigh gap was, like, a real big thing. And I got to college, which was, like, kind of the first time I was, like, really around guys, like, all the time. And I remember them being like, what is
this? Yeah. What's a thigh gap?
Ew. And I was like, what? Who the hell am I starving myself for then? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. And yeah, this kind of moment. So, okay. So if you're going to journal, it's maybe some of these, I would think about, what are areas in your life where there's guilt, feeling mm-hmm. guilt is coming up, sadness or, like, disappointment. Mm-hmm. Where's that coming from? And then
I think too, what are areas that you find yourself making excuses?
Oh, okay. Say more about that.
So, for instance, like, I think, like I would be a better mom if, well, we're not talking to moms, so I'm not doing that example now. Sorry. I would weigh less if I was just less busy.
Mm.
But because I'm so busy, because like I think often that underlies a like, I am not good enough at this weight, right? Or I would be further along in my career if blah, 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 whatever, right? And I think often those kinds of things can also underlie this expectation that we have that we're feeling guilty about, and we're trying to justify it, but in a like unhealthy way.
Yeah. So go on. No, that's great. So I think Katie and I were speaking to some of the feelings that we can tap into that might suggest there's an expectation there. And then Katie, you also tapped into some key phrases of often when we say, if this, then, if then statements or should statements, there's an underlying expectation or pressure behind that. So I think, you know, because some people might say like, well, I don't know what's a realistic expectation, what's not, and where I'm feeling this in my life and where I'm not. And so how do I journal about this? Or how do I kind of lean into that introspection to hear myself, right? To quiet the noise and to hear myself, you know, because God has entrusted you to govern your life, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't make you special needs where other people have to be controlling your life and making your decisions, right? Like if you are an able-bodied, autonomous, free thinker, he trusts you. This is your life. He's entrusted to you. And so we have to really do the work to be introspective so that, one, we hear him in the silence; two, the desires of the heart matter greatly; and three, in order to do that, we have to sometimes silence this outside noise, right? This is why prayer, silent meditation, these things are really important in living a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I can better hear and discern and choose.
Right. And I think ultimately the question really needs to come back to like, what is God's expectation for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, that's the real question to ask. So as you're journaling and you're going through all of this to really be like, okay, but like, what does God expect of me in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
My holiness, like my sanctity and my happiness, ultimately. Right. And to be with him forever in heaven someday. But like, okay, so like, what's God's expectation for me? And then how do I try and live up to that as opposed to all these external expectations that I've been thrust upon me from my parents, from my family, from the society, or my internal expectations that I have just who knows why for so many reasons, probably because I'm scrolling on TikTok, who knows, right? But to really keep going back to like, okay, but what does God want for me, right? And what's his expectation for me, and how can I lean into that more than I lean into these external expectations or these societal expectations that are on me.
Yeah. Well, because I think if we're able to be that specific yet general, right? So specific in that like I like to live by these like different mantras that give me direction, but they're vague enough for the diversity of the human expression that, you know, everyone is on the path to heaven. We're all getting there in different ways, right? Like some are running, some whatever, on scooters, fine. But can I be open to that? This life and the way I live it is going to look different. And there's something really beautiful and unique that we're called to, like, no one else can recreate who you are. And the problem is expectations often put us in boxes of, well, I have to live. And I've struggled with this, like, so Katie's a numerary, I'm a supernumerary. I've struggled with this, a supernumerary should look like a particular way. And that expectation has actually like cramped my prayer life because I can't experience God in the way, like, yes, through my norms that are through Opus Dei, but in my own lived expression, they might look a little different than someone else's. And sometimes the irony there is that, well, I want to love God well, so I have to do it in this particular way. But the expectation that it looks this way actually keeps me from doing it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
you know, this is making me think of, I was just in LA and I went to the cathedral in LA. And sorry if you're from LA, but I think it's pretty ugly. It's like funky. But the tapestries are stunning. And the tapestries are all these different saints and then these different like people of LA and all this kind of stuff, right? And all the saints, even if we have actual pictures of the saints, are actually not modeled after the picture of the saint we have, but modeled after people from LA. Anyway, but it was making me think like, for instance, there were several nuns up on these tapestries, but they didn't all live the same life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so this idea that, like, yeah, we're all called to live our own life, even if we have the same vocation,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if you're all New Marys or you're all sisters of whatever, the Salesian sisters, right? Like, while you're called to live it in a certain context,
mm-hmm.
right? A certain charism, you still are called to live it the way Monica lives it. And I'm still called to live it the way Katie lives
right.
it. And that, I think, is really important for people to remember. And it's not this expectation of, like, here's this, like, ethereal, whatever, New Marys, nun, single person, whatever. But it's, here's the, I don't know, the idea. But, like, then how is it yours?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, how do you make it your own?
Yeah. I think that to kind of summarize everything, I think when we're willing to examine and to challenge expectations, we give ourselves the opportunity to, like, fully see and experience ourselves and the world around us and people around us. And I think that's how we become who we're called to be. And that's how we encounter others. Yeah. Right. And so it really is. And talk to anybody who's let go of particular expectations, the amount of freedom that comes with that and peace. And this is how we know, like, this is kind of the litmus that I follow, right? When it's like, well, was that a good decision or a bad decision or this decision? Like, if peace follows, right? Letting go of expectations and living in the freedom of that. And there's peace that follows. Like, our Lord gives us peace. My peace I give to my mm-hmm. peace I leave with you. And so,
yeah.
You know, the angst and the anxiety and the consternation, like, that's not what he wants for us. Like, that's not a full, free living relationship with him or with ourselves in relation to others or even to these standards we have in our life of career and everything else, right, that expectations can come with. And so I think it could be, like, an interesting thought project to think about what expectation am I letting go of this week?
Mm-hmm.
And how has that kind of freed me up to live more openly.
Yeah. More fully yourself. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I love that. I'm going to do it this week and we'll talk next week on that. All right. That's it this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on social media at Single Not Stalled or shoot us an email at singlenotstalled@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.